John chapter 1. We brought you a message out of this chapter some time ago. We pick up again another character in this chapter and deal with this man this morning. The interviews of Christ as they're set forth in our scriptures. At verse 41, 42. He first findeth his own brother Simon, that is Andrew, and saith unto him, Andrew said unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, now watch these words, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now what's he say? Thou art Simon. The word Simon is a little pebble, just a little bitty rock. And he said, your name is going to be changed to Cephas, which is a great big rock. The man who became a rock, that's the one I want to talk about this morning. The man who became a rock. Well, watch these words. Thou art and thou shalt be. Thou art and thou shalt be. Sometime the Lord says to us, I'm going to make something out of you, and we say, Lord, we don't know how you're going to do that, you know, and we're a little bit pessimistic about it. A pessimist is like the pessimist and an optimist. The optimist is like the man who jumps out of the Empire State Building and he's on the way down and they could hear him as he goes down by the windows. He says, so far, so good. But pessimist is like the young man who's in the Air Force. And they gathered them on the ground and the sergeant or whoever who's in charge said, now, when you get up there, remember now that you're to jump out, make your jump. This is your first jump. You jump out, and then you pull the first cord, and then you pull the second cord. And then the trucks will be down there and carry you back to the base. So everything went well. This guy got up. Time for him to jump. And they had to push him out. They pushed him out of the plane, and as they pushed him out, he said, well, I know it'd be like that. And here he was falling. He reached and got the first cord and pulled it. Nothing happened. He said, I knew it'd be like that. And he pulled the second one, and nothing happened. He was going down. He said, yeah, I bet them trucks won't be down there either. I thought maybe you smile a little bit at happy this morning. The most prominent man in the ministry of our Lord was Simon Peter. You check it in the Gospels. The Gospels say more about this man than anyone else who came in contact with our Lord. I believe most of you would have liked Simon Peter. I do. Because one time he was up and the next time he was down. We can identify with him. Our lives are like that, up and down. It's amazing what one phone call will do for you. He was a big, rugged kind of man, a Jew. If a Jew could be big, he was a big one. He was outgoing, outspoken. He was the guy who was always on his feet, had something to say. course, a lot of times he may say the wrong thing, but he said something. Whatever he did it with a bang. If he was successful, it was big success. If he was a failure, it was a big whopper. That was Simon Peter in the New Testament. One word perhaps would identify him. That is impatience. He was an impatient man. Impatient. I see in his life he was impatient in his words. He spoke and then he put his mind in gear. First, come out of his mouth, and then he began to think about what he had said. And sometime he gave the wrong answer. Sometime he gave the right one, though. It says in the Gospel of Mark about the transfiguration and what he said there about three tabernacles, bringing Christ down to the level of men in the Gospel of Mark. Mark adds this, that Peter spoke those words because he did not know what he said. He just said it. He was not only impatient in his words, he was impatient in his ways. He moved quickly. He acted all over when he moved. He was an active fellow. And sometimes he jumped into things without thinking. You remember in the garden when they came after Jesus to arrest him, and right away he drew his sword out. He was swiping at this fellow and hit his ear and cut it off. Jesus performed a miracle and put his ear back on. Do you think he was aiming at his ear? Oh. He was aiming at his head. He just missed. He was a man that was impatient in his actions. Remember at the tomb? Why, he ran, John stopped, John and Peter was running, and John stopped, and what Peter? He ran right on in. That's Simon Peter. Third thing, he was impatient in his worship. Whatever else you learn about this man, he loved the Lord Jesus with all of his heart. Whether it took swimming through the water or walking on the water, he is willing to do anything to get to Christ and the feet of Christ. Jesus said to him, I'm going to make out of you a rock. You're not so steadfast now. I'm going to make a rock out of you, one that cannot be moved. I'm going to make a rock out of you. I noticed in the epistles, Simon Peter, this man we're studying this morning, was a man who talked about stones and rocks a whole lot. I want to give you three words. The first one is captured. The Lord captured this man. He did here. Notice how he captured him with promise. He said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. He said, I'm gonna bring about a change in you. Instead of a little bitty pebble, you're going to be a great big stone. And can't you imagine now, Simon Peter, thinking, I'm not like that at all. And the Lord had his attention. Captured him right here. He captured this man by promise. He looked into his heart and he gazed into his heart and he saw there potential. The Lord's saying to you this morning, I can make something out of you. Maybe you think you can't. He can. Thou shalt be. You'll be a stone. A stone. Jesus had said something that actually captured this man's life. What has he said to you? Captured your life. That got a hold of you. That stays in grip upon you. Something Jesus said. This man was left speechless here. He usually responded quick.
He was quick on the trigger to everything.
But he didn't respond here. This captured him. Jesus said, by this promise, he said, thou art and thou shalt be. I'll make something out of you. I'm going to make something out of you. Have you noticed in the Bible how when the Lord came in the life of many of the characters, he changed their names? Names are changed. Something about changing names indicate a change in the character. I noticed that Abram's name became Abraham. Abraham. Jacob. Jacob's name was changed when he wrestled with the Lord, you remember, to Israel, from a trickster to a prince with God. That's the meaning of the words. Simon, little stone, little pebble, now big stone. You're to be called Cephas. I read somewhere about this fella that wanted his name changed. He went before a judge, and the judge said, you want your name changed? Yes. He said, what is your name? He said, Joseph Stinks Jr. He said, well, I can understand for that name that you'd want to change. What do you want to change to? He said, Joe Stinks Jr. He wanted to change. The Lord changes your name. He said, Simon, I'm going to make out of you a stone. A stone. Did you know the epistles say this? That the apostles were the foundation of the church? That's right. Upon which they build upon Christ as the founder, and they are the foundational of what? Stones. They are the stones. He captured this man. He captured him by promise. And then there's another story concerning him, where he captured him by power. This man's a fisherman. He knew how to fish. He did it for a living. He knew where the fish were. He knew how to catch fish. You ever been with somebody that knows how to catch fish? If you ever go with somebody that knows how to catch fish, then you'll appreciate the information. My son Eddie knows how to fish. I had a tackle box full of all these things you need, you know. And he went fishing with me, and he used everything in that box. He fished deep, fished a little higher, fished up a little higher, then found out where the fish were. I used to go deep sea fishing with me, knew where the fish were. You go down to the Sounds, at Huber, North Carolina. And what did he do? Followed the birds. As he followed the birds, we caught fish. He just followed the birds as a sign. Wherever the birds are, that's where the fish are. Jesus had power to know where the fish were. Though this man had been a fisherman all his life, yet Christ was Lord of the fish. He knew where they were. And he told him, launch out into the deep. That's the passage I'm thinking about. Launch out into the deep. And he did, and they caught so many fish that it broke the nets when they got back. By promise and by power, he captured this man. Captured him. There's a second word concerning this man. He constructed his life. He not only captured his life, he constructed his life. Turn over to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. He began to construct this man's life, and here's a passage that tells you something about it. At verse 27, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, they're now out upon the sea. And he's appearing to them, and he says, It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You say, Oh, I know, he's going to go under. Just you remember, the rest of them are in the boat. They never got out of the boat. You have to give him credit. He got out of the boat. It says here he walked on the water. And when he saw the wind, boisterous, and was afraid, began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I like that prayer I prayed here. Lord, save me. You know, when you get in real trouble, you don't pray around the world. You just say, Lord, I need you. You know how it is when the children are sick and dead of the night, and you got to get to the hospital, and you got to do this and all of that, and you got to have help quick. Well, you cut your prayers down like he did here. He said, Lord, save me. Here's a sinking experience that he had. Jesus is going to take that man, construct this man's life. He's going to construct this man's life. You say, where are you getting that preacher? This. Suppose that he had walked on the water and got in the boat and went to Jesus, and everybody's watching him, and he had not sunk. Why, there'd been so much pride. They'd have still been worshiping him, not only his toes, and kiss them away. They'd put him up on a high pedestal. No, Jesus was showing that he could walk on the water by faith, but he was human. Here's a sinking experience. Here's this man sinking in the water. Now, go to chapter 16. Chapter 16. Chapter 16, question was asked, and this man gets 100 on the question. He hits it right on the head. He speaks up, and Jesus said, You get 100 on this. In verse 13, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He saith unto them, Whom say ye that I am? And note this, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus said, You didn't get that on your own. That's revealed to you, and you get 100 on that. You get 100. But a little bit later, notice what Jesus begins in this chapter to talk about his death. And Simon Peter, verse 22, look at it. Then Simon Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, One time he gets 100, next time he gets 0. He said, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He said, Lord, you're not going to the cross. He's flunking out now. He's swaying. Here is a sinking experience, and now here's a swaying experience. He's swaying. Well, we do that. We do that in our lives. You know, we're not always on the mountaintop. We might be once in a while we come together, but most of the time we're down in the valley. There's the valley between the mountain peaks, you know. You have to go through the valley, get to the mountaintop. In fact, I'm a little afraid these folks are always on the mountaintop. That's right. I'm a little afraid of them. Every time you meet them, you know, they're up on the mountaintop. Are they living this world we live in? Something wrong. Something wrong. Notice what Jesus said to him. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, or those that be of man." Oh, he said, Peter, you struck out this time. You're swaying too much. You're swaying too much. Go over to Luke chapter 22. Jesus constructing this man's life, sinking experience, swaying experience. Luke chapter 22, verse 30 and 31. Here's a sifting experience. It's 31, 32. And the Lord said unto Simon, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, uses double name now, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Might sift you. He's had a sinking experience. He's had a swaying experience now, a sifting experience. Well, that's a part of this construction the Lord does in our lives. He desires that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32. Boy, I'm glad 32's in there. But I prayed for thee. Jesus said, I prayed for you, Simon, that thy faith fail not. For when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you turned around, strengthen your brethren. Here was this man being constructed by the Lord. He's been captured. Now he's being constructed by the Lord. You remember what happened? This man actually denied the Lord. He stood and he said, Lord, others may deny you, but I will never. And then the sifting came. Bible says he began to follow Paul, and then he goes down to the courts in the courtyard, and he warms himself by the devil's fire, and then a little lady picks it up and she says, "You're one of them. Your speech betrayed you." And he said, "I know not the man." And she kept talking. Finally, he wound up saying, "Swear to God, he did not know me." Curse words. Presumption, prayerlessness, profanity came out in his life. Wait a minute now. Jesus said, "Thou art, and thou shalt become. Thou shalt be." And here's this man. He's sinking, swaying, being sifted. Let me ask you, who was the preacher on the day of Pentecost? This fellow right here. He wasn't a perfect fellow. Neither did anybody else. We all have that place in our lives. Everyone. Everyone. But God used this man mightily on the day of Pentecost. You hear him preaching on the day of Pentecost, you forget about all this other. He'd been through the sifting, now he is standing on solid ground. He's standing on solid ground. The Lord captured him. The Lord began to construct him. Third thing, the Lord converted him. Here in Luke 22 and 32, when thou art converted, didn't mean to get saved now. He's talking about turn around. Turn him around. He's already converted. He's already saved. He's going to use a term like that. He's talking about now being on solid ground. When thou art converted, when thou art converted, when you return, that's the word. That's the meaning of the word. Return. To turn around. To turn about. Return. When you return, strengthen the brethren. How did Jesus bring about this, convert this fellow? Number one, by recalling his failure. Recalling his failure. Number two, rekindling his fervor. He rekindled the fires in his heart. Where did this take place? John chapter 21. You remember, don't you? The disciples said, Simon Peter said, well, this whole thing, it's just, it's gone, and I go fishing. And several others said, I'll go with you. And so here they are, out on the Sea of Galilee. And they look. They fish and caught nothing. You know, if the Lord calls you to do something and you sit out away from that, you'll empty all the nets and you won't catch any fish. You can't do that. They were running. And what the Lord did? Holler out there and say, you rascals, you run from me. You didn't do what I told you. No. Here's what he did. He cooked breakfast. He said, wait a minute. Where did he catch these fish? He's Lord of the fish. And when they got near enough that they could see that it was the Lord. And heck, he fed them good. Then this ordination service took place. Three questions. First one, he said, Simon, he denied him three times. He said, Simon, he's running. Use the word, it's not the word to follow up. He used the word, I like you. The Lord, I like you. Jesus comes back and he says, do you love me? Be about me. Second time, he says, Lord, I like you. Third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, look down at my heart. I like you. He never did reference to the word love. I'm not being loved. But you were looking down his heart. It's what you said. Feed my sheep. Feed my life. Fast his ordination. Go feed. You want to find out strengthening words when you're sinking and when you're swaying, you read 1st and 2nd Peter. This man has been all along now. He can tell you. He can tell you about it.
is our reward. Here's our one converting this man. He became a rock. He was a little pebble. He became a rock. Years ago, a little servant girl that lived in a home, and she didn't have any education, and there wasn't allowed to go to school, didn't have any education, but she heard a great preacher came to that home. George Whitfield was invited to come preach for the dignitaries in that home, and he preached, and this young maiden, a young servant, got saved. And when others had gone, she slipped in to speak to them. She said, preacher, I don't have any education. I can't get out. I have to work here. This home. This is my job. I've got to do this. How could I serve God? The great preacher said this. You asked him. What did she do? She watched the paper that was put out that day. She picked out the bird. She prayed for every baby. She prayed for every young couple that's been married. She prayed in the time of death. She found a way